Thank you, Charles, for playing, and even just the rest of the worship team, and even for taking the graveyard shift, because I'm sure that's what this feels like, a little bit of a graveyard shift. It feels like, Bible study, which is really cool. I love Bible studies personally. I like that crowd more, so I'm going to try to be engaging, and hopefully, if I could, I'd actually even get more involvement, But let's not go that far. Let's not test it. Let's not test it too far. But again, it's just great to be in and amongst God's people this evening. And even, every time you have a small crowd, it also reminds you of the beginnings of our faith. Jesus and the 12 disciples, it's a crowd a little smaller than this. And look what has happened since then, that Jesus was calling a crowd a little bit smaller than our size right here and saying, we're going to tell it to the whole world as we've been singing. Go on and shout it from the mountains is what he was sending them out to be. And in case you think these 12 people were qualified, they were far from. Consider Peter probably just a few days before. I mean, what, 4 or 5 days before? Peter was busy. Actually, probably was more than that because he did dwell with them for a little bit. But it's not too long before when Peter was denying Jesus. And now Jesus, amongst a crowd a little smaller than this, is telling them, go on and shout it from the mountains. So it's in this sort of space that Jesus could call. It's in this sort of space that Jesus reminds us of the great call that we have been called. And so that's my hope tonight. My hope is that we are reminded of what it is that we have in him tonight, that we are more prepared, more equipped to go on and tell it from the mountains. And so let me go pray, and then we'll jump into tonight's service, or the direction that I felt God is calling us to. So let me pray for us. Lord, during this season, this Christmas time season, we get time with family, we get time off, time with friends, and get to do really what most of us would rather do with our lives, probably, which is rest and relax and be with the people we love. But Lord, it's in this time that we have to be reminded again, Father, what it is that we celebrate. That, Lord, we have put up this time on the calendar to remember your birth, Jesus, that it is when you came and dwelt among us, that Father Emmanuel, you came and dwelt with people, Father, in order to bring them back to yourself, to redeem them back to yourself, to bring salvation to many who were on their way to death. And for that we thank you, Father, and we pray, Lord, remind us of that truth, even this evening and even during this period. Remind us of the truth and the importance of this time. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, as I was preparing, I was thinking, so I'm preaching both today and on Christmas Day, so you can come. The two sermons are not necessarily related except to talk a little bit about the season of gift giving. Or gifts, and so by way of introduction, I thought, let me share with you my memories of gifts. My memories of gifts. I've got a few, and I'm sure you have a few, and maybe this will hit you up and say, what were some of the best gifts you got? I'll share a little bit of mine, or at least the ones I remember the most. One of the ones I remember the most was my TV game. Now, the older people, the younger people, you might know this more as a PlayStation or an Xbox or a Wii, or there's a lot now, so the list is count is quite numerous in today's day and age. But back in the days, it was just a TV game, Golden China. I remember that very well. Cartridges, and you'd have Contra and Battle. What is it? Battle City was one. There were a few games that everyone used to play. Now, I was so excited when I got my TV game, and we played that. So it was with my cousin. I have a cousin who's just a year older than me, and we played that thing the whole time. I remember because before the TV game came, the most important thing to do was play soccer on the street with our friends. But when the TV game came, soccer was scarce. I mean, people would be like, where is Sammy? Like, I used to go by the name Papi. It was like my play name. They'd be shouting out from the street, come play. And I'd be just be quiet. because we have to play TV game right now. And we would commit ourselves to TV game. And somehow we had it in our mind, you know, there was the adapter. Now, you weren't also PlayStation people, you don't know this, but the electrical engineers figured something out later, but before they didn't. The adapter would be so hot, and sometimes that's how your TV game got destroyed. So we thought you can take the adapter and put it in the freezer. True story. And we put the adapter in the freezer because by putting the adapter in the freezer, you thought in your mind that it sort of cuts the time short for us to get back to the TV game. So one of the gifts I remember the most, TV game. The one I also remember was my bicycle. Now this one was a bit short-lived. We rode it quite a lot, but it got stolen. Sad story. It's true. It did get stolen. But I remember riding my bike around with a bunch of my friends. And we used to take milk cartons. Now, milk cartons this day and age aren't the same. But there were those like 500 mils milk cartons. And you can pop them at the back of the bicycle. And it makes like this motorbike sound. At least that's what we said it made. I'm sure people, motorbike owners would say, no, that's not a motorbike sound. But in our minds as kids, it was a motorbike sound. And we would ride these things all day. Again, to different places. I'm sure some of my parents, if they know how far I went with the bicycle, would not be pleased. But we rode quite far. I remember a friend of mine once was spotted by a neighbor of his when we were on our rides, and we were too far at this point. And they told his parents, and it wasn't good for him. It wasn't good. They said, why were you riding so far? Like, we told you to ride within the neighborhood. We were not in the neighborhood. But I remember the bicycle rides quite a lot. The last one, and it was a board game, it's Monopoly. Now, when Monopoly got introduced to my life, that was also another one of those gifts. Just turned everything around. Like, we would go to each other's houses, and we would stay there forever making deals. I mean, we were real estate moguls, buying streets, and I thought this was real. And now you would come back saying, I'm a mogul. I really am. I think I'm going to be the biggest real estate. I'm going to be bigger than Donald Trump probably. Just, that's how good I am at this game. This was the thoughts of a kid. But we all remember gifts, right? We all remember some of the gifts we got. But I'll tell you, there's a relationship between the gifts I remember and the gifts I don't. Because I did get other gifts that I don't remember a lot of. The gifts we tend to remember the most of are the ones we enjoy the most, right? The gifts we enjoy the most, we celebrate the most, we talk about the most. So this morning, Quentin or Pastor Q was trying to remind us of the importance of this gospel of grace, that it is free. You don't have to work for it. And it is almost that as he reminds you of this gift that you're like, yes, it is an important gift. It's the most important gift. But most times we don't always remember it or enjoy it that much because we don't celebrate it as much. You celebrate the things you enjoy, the gifts you remember the most, the ones that you dove into the most. Those are the ones you celebrate the most. You talk to people about the most. You tend to be quite in on them. And I think sometimes the reason we don't always celebrate the gospel of Jesus Christ or the gift that Jesus is because we don't always unwrap that gift. You know, there are some gifts that you might have gotten and you didn't think the gift was as great until they truly showed you how good this gift is, right? Think about getting a chess set from your uncle without the rules on how to play chess. The chess set stays in the corner, right? I don't know why uncle got me this gift. Until they teach you the rules and you dive into the gift, right? And I think most times it's very much the same with us with the gospel. We know we've got the gospel. We know Jesus died on the cross. But what does that really, really mean? What does it really, really mean that we have received this free gift from God? Now, I'm going to be reading mostly Ephesians 1, but as a way to start, I'll read from a few passages in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And then Ephesians chapter 2, and then we'll go into our verse. It will be short, but the reason I started Ephesians chapter 4 is so I think when you're reading this, most of these letters, you want to read the whole letter. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it's quite something that is important for all of us in the church, and I wanted to have us hear this reminder and why it's important to even remind you all the more why to embrace this gospel gift I'm talking about. So this is Ephesians chapter 4. I am reading from verses 9. Now, this expression, he ascended, What does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also the one who ascended far above the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And then this is what he did. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and some as teachers. And this is why he gives us to be those things in the church, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, the reason I start there is because, you know, as an elder in the church, these are some of the things that we grapple with. In case you wonder, what do those elders grapple with every time they meet? Is it like, you know, maintenance meetings? That's not what we do as elders. There are times for maintenance talks, but most times we sit and we say, how can we help each other grow to maturity as believers? How can we help everyone who attends Central grow to maturity as believers? What is it that we need to do? What is God's word saying? How can we pray for them? How can we urge them on? But the truth is, it's not just a job for elders. I hope you saw there in the passage, it says, he gave some, and he mentions all these different places. Some would be evangelists, some would be prophets, some would be pastors, some would be teachers. But all of us together as the body of Christ are there to help each other move on to a place of maturity, to be equipped for the work of service, equipped for how do I equip you so that you can go onto the mountain and scream it that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is. Now, there might be some among us who say, I already scream it from the mountain. But for most of us, we struggle to scream it from the mountain, right? We struggle to tell our friends, we struggle to tell our colleagues that Jesus is Lord. How do we equip you? How do we help you? Paul says, this is what Jesus did. He gave each and every one of us different gifts that we can help each other to that end. And even this evening, it's a little bit of that before we go into chapter 1. So remember, take Ephesians chapter 1 as you are being equipped to understand a little bit more what is this gospel of grace so that you can call it from the mountains. Second passage that I want us to read is Ephesians chapter 2 from verses 8 to 10. We are quite familiar with this one. If you are not familiar with it, this is one of those scripture memory 101. If you're looking for a scripture to memorize, this is one of the early ones you must memorize. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. Go ahead and get yourself one of those placards, write it at the top and write it out. I'm reading, by the way, from the NAS. And it goes this way. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So this verse encompasses all that Quentin this morning talked about. If you were here, it's this verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, or it is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And then it brings on what I talked about in chapter 4. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so we could walk in them. We are Christ's workmanship. That's what we are. We are part of his body, all of us different parts, but we are created to work in the works that God calls us to work in. The minute you are in Christ, the minute you receive this gift, this free gift, which you get from God, you cannot work for it. Once you receive it, you are now part of the workmanship, created to walk in this way. So it's not just those who go do seminary for 4 years. It's not just Jabu. It's not just Quentin. You know, all of us, everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, free gift, remember? Free, don't work for it. But once you receive that free gift, oh, you tell it from the mountain. The same way I talked about my TV game. The same way I talk about my bicycle. The same way I talk about Monopoly. Is it work for me to tell you that Monopoly is a great game? It's not work. I enjoy Monopoly. Is it work for me to tell you that I enjoyed riding bikes that sounded like motorbikes? It is not work. But I'm called to walk in it. For me to, I want everyone to know this bicycle was great. I want everyone to know there is a free gift that is called Jesus Christ. And man, upon accepting it, you will be totally new. Totally new. In Jeremiah, there's a picture, a great picture of what happens when you accept the free gift, which is God. God causes the dry bones. The dry bones. It doesn't get more dead than dry bones. You know, like, there's sometimes a fatal shot that someone dies, but you know when you still have the full body, it looks like, I mean, maybe there's hope. Dry bones to live. And that's the picture of what happens when you believe the free gift. You are dead. Dead in your trespasses. Dead people can't do nothing. Dry bones. Upon receiving the free gift, alive. Alive. Better than any gift that you've ever gotten. Now to the meat of what we're talking about today. So if you need the title, and this is where it starts, that was by way of introduction, where we are, it's unwrapping your gift. I really think it's about time we begin to unwrap our gift. What is this free gift that we receive in Christ Jesus our Lord? What is it? What is it? And so, Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I said this is going to be a little bit of like a Bible study. What I mean is like, we're going to use a simple tool. The simple tool is so that you know what was Sammy doing. This is exactly what I did. And you can go home and do this for yourself. We read, we make observations that stick out, which means what statement sticks out to us, to any of us. And then that statement we create and interpret what is God saying to us in that statement. Now, I've obviously got all the notes. I've obviously done the sermon preparation and I'm leading you and I know what I want you to say. So, but I just want you to get a little bit of a grasp to say, oh, okay, I can also do this. So Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read from verses 3. We're going to read all the way to verses 14. And so just follow with me. If you don't have a Bible, pick one out from the pew. And you'll see. There's 5 points I picked up. There's a lot more out of this, but I wanted to highlight 5 for the sake of the tool and for the sake of us actually understanding, can we see this gift better? Maybe we can enjoy it better. Maybe it will be a little bit like the other gifts I've come to really, really enjoy. You shouldn't enjoy any other gift more than this. This is the most important gift ever given to us. So let's unwrap it a little bit. So Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verses 3. This is actually dangerous because I'm reading from the NAS, but please try follow. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a statement. Note, by the way, when you're reading your Bible, try note where they put the commas and the full stops and whatever. It will help you. It's like grammar in high school. Some people who didn't do well in English, this is going to be a bit of a stretch, but if you did, this is an easy follow. Remember, just watch the punctuation. Blessed be God. Be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a comma, so it's going to be a long statement. He has a lot to say here, Paul, but that's a big observation. Why are we blessing the Lord God, our Father, who has blessed us in Christ? Why are we blessing Him? Because He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So, what does the free gift that comes by grace get us? It gets us these blessings, every spiritual blessing. Now, let me go forward a little bit so for you to see why I say this comes from the gift. Verses 15, it says, for this reason, and he's saying for the reason of all the things I'm going to mention, the 5 things I'm going to talk about. For this reason, I too, being poor, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the riches of glory in His inheritance in the saints. So what Paul is saying is, I'm so grateful. The reasons that I'm about to mention, the spiritual gifts that are in the heavenly places that you get because of this free gift, for that reason, for all the spiritual gifts that you get, I give thanks to God all the time when I think about you. Because you know what I think about? I can't help when I think about Jabu and that Jabu's accepted the free gift that you don't know what you have in store. Why I get excited when someone tells me you're a Christian? This is what Paul is saying. When I hear that you're a Christian, I can't help but think about how great a gift it is. I think about all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Do you follow? Every time I thank God about you and that he continues to reveal more of himself to you. Why do I want God to reveal more of himself to you? Because there are spiritual gifts in the heavenly places, spiritual blessings in the heavenly places that you got because you accepted Jesus. And I know those spiritual gifts in the heavenly, spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And because I know that, I'm so happy for you. Because I'm like, oh, you accepted Jesus? Man, the blessings coming your way are tremendous. And that's not the charismatic way tremendous. This is bigger than charismatic. The charismatics are selling us short. That's what Paul is saying. I can't help. Every time I thank God for it because I'm like, Beatrice, man, you bought the TV game? Which cartridges do you have? Do you have FIFA 20? Oh, I don't know where it is now. I don't have FIFA anymore. You can see I'm out of touch now. You have the bicycle? Which one? The one that bends around the corners? Oh man, you don't know what's coming. You just accepted the gift. You're like, oh, wait until you start riding that bicycle. Wait. Don't go to this area, but trust me, wait until you start riding. That's what Paul is saying. For this reason, for the reasons of this every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, I thank God every time. I thank God every time. Now we're going to note them. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Now, like I said, it's not going to be quite like if we went Bible study because I'd ask questions and you'd answer, but I'm going to lead you a little bit. When you note from verses 3 to verses 14, Paul uses a lot of words in him. In him. And those are the places we're going to really focus. To say, he's saying, you have this spiritual blessing in Christ. Because you got that free gift, because you are in Christ, you have now the spiritual blessing. And this is the first one. So, number one of unwrapping the gift. He chose us in Christ or in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. It sounds like, you know, seminary, so I'm going to try to break it down to everyday language. Now that you've accepted Jesus, what you don't know is before you were even a thought to your parents, at the foundation of the world, God had already chosen you. And by accepting Christ as a gift, it's clear that you were one of the chosen ones from the beginning. It's going to blow your mind. And this is one of those spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. You were already chosen. That from the beginning of time, when God is going to look upon you at the end of time, he's going to say holy and blameless. It's not go and be holy and blameless. In Christ, you are holy and blameless. That's the workmanship. Now walk in those ways. Remember, it's a free gift. Walk in the manner that you've been chosen. You are chosen to be holy and blameless. Don't be one who's not holy and blameless because you're doing things that you're not supposed to be doing. You're one of the chosen ones. Before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in Christ, chosen. Now that you are in Christ, when you are not holy and blameless, and when we fall, what you have to know is you are acting out of character now. You're acting out of character. Because you are chosen. Because you've accepted the free gift. Now we know you're chosen. Now you're like, Sammy, what does that mean? Now we can get into a lot. It's a theological thing that we can talk about. But we know that now that's why we are being sanctified, becoming more and more like him. But it's not like this side of the... When God looks at you, once you die, it's not like, oh, did you ask for forgiveness just before you died for that sin? That's not how it works. That's not how it works. How it works is, no, already holy and blameless. Upon accepting the free gift, holy and blameless in Christ. As you walk this earth, try live that way. But we know you struggle with the flesh. Paul talks about it. We have these struggles. But just know, in Christ, you are a holy people. chosen for God before the foundation of the earth. If you've never accepted Christ, you're not part of the holy priesthood. You're not holy and blameless. Upon accepting Christ, holy and blameless. You might be like, yeah, but Sam, before I accepted Christ, do you know what I did? Do you know what Paul did? I told you Peter just denied Jesus. Right? Holy and that's why Jesus, that's why this gift is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous gift. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's why Jesus is so tremendous. It's why it must blow your mind. Gonna move a little bit quicker. In love, so again, this is one of those in him situations. This is verse 5 now. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. In love, you are now holy and blameless. But not only are you just that holy and blameless people, he predestines it. He says, you're going to be one of my sons. You're going to be one of my sons. Like, it's always sometimes easier, I guess, to make sense of it trying to use a human explanation. Can you imagine, just like that, they walk to you, Camden, and say to you, and now take Bill Gates. Camden, you've been adopted. Now, I know you don't want to leave the Smiths, but consider now for a minute that you were not part of the Smiths and you don't have a family. Bill Gates, adopted, you're a son. All the rights of the others, you have. All the rights. All the rights. And by the way, I always intended to adopt you. Upon accepting Jesus, adoption. Adoption. Like, all the rights of sons. Now, this is one of those things that's hard for us to understand because, you know, especially people who've never been adopted, you're like, I don't really get it, you know. Ah, okay, so you're like a son. But if you can just imagine the God of the universe calls you son because you received a free gift. He predestined it that upon receiving the free gift, son, daughter, you're part of the family. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Because of Jesus, he looks at Jesus and he says, oh, you are in Jesus? Oh, you are part. In Jesus, sons, daughters, in Jesus, he just sees us as that. You have been redeemed. You have been brought back. You're part. You can't work for this. Remember, it's a free gift. What else is included in this gift? Verse 6. And this is all, by the way, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So obviously, you don't say, Camden, wow, you've done well to convince Bill Gates to adopt you. We wouldn't say that, right? Most times, adoptive parents are seen, and we should see them this. Any parent who adopts, we see them as amazing people. Now, there's still sin involved and human elements, but can you imagine God adopts? Like, we don't put adoption and the fact that a kid has been adopted and say, that kid must be great. That's not what we say, right? We pray for more parents to adopt because the parents need to be great. The parents need to be... Now, that's a human saying. The praise and glory that belongs to God for adopting all of us is immense. We, remember, are the ones who wanted nothing to do with God. It's not like we're sitting there at the door, God, please adopt us. That's not what we were doing. We were running the other direction, cursing at God, right? Cursing at God. He offered a free gift to us and said, come in and be my son. And be my son. That's what God has done. So he deserves praise and glory. He deserves praise and glory for that reason. To the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Again, here's one of those, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace which he has lavished on us. So again, I think there's a little bit of a... So think of this as from the top, eternity past, eternity future, the chronology of it. You've been predestined to be adopted. Now you're living and you're like, but how's that possible because I'm a sinner? Now he's dealing with that. In this free gift, you have redemption. Redemption through the blood. Your forgiveness of your trespasses. All of them. You know, most of us, and I think Quentin mentioned it this morning, it's just most of us, if people truly knew us, right? If our lives were an open page, none of us would like each other. Right? None of us would like each other. If you really knew my heart, you would not like me. If I really knew your heart, I would not like you. Now, for whatever reason, we learn to fake it with each other. But even those hidden sins, forgiveness of them. Forgiveness of them. That is why the gospel is big for everyone. We tend to talk about the gospel as big for only those who truly messed up in life. Like, oh, that guy was a druggie. He was a mess. That's how we tend to talk, right? The world has taught us to talk that way. Oh, she had three kids before she was married. Yeah, that was a mess. She needed Jesus. If we truly knew you, we all need Jesus. When we shouted from the mountains, we are prescribing what we ourselves are taking. Right? Listen, you need forgiveness of sins because I know I need forgiveness of sins. Like I need to breathe. Like I need to breathe because I know my life. I know my heart. I know my heart. If I followed you for a day and I could have an inside look into your head and your heart, man, it would be so clear. That's why in the Gospels it says those who've been forgiven much love much. What that means is it's not the killers and the murderers when they come to Christ they love the most. No, that's not what it means. It means those who realize how much they have been forgiven tend to be the most gracious people. The ones who love the best, right? Because you're like, man, yeah, let me cry with you. That's horrible what sin is doing in your life. And man, but there is forgiveness for it. If you would repent, if you would turn away and run to Jesus, there's forgiveness there. It's one of the blessings. Receive the free gift. You receive forgiveness of your trespasses. You receive forgiveness of your trespasses. God has riches in grace. Riches. Unbelievable riches. You cannot outdo God's riches of grace. You cannot. There is nothing you can tell me you've done. It might shock me. It will not shock the riches of God's grace. It will not. His riches are abundantly more than you could ever imagine. He calls openly. He calls everyone. Everyone. Verse 9. I'm going to push through these last two quickly. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable for the fullness of time, that is to summoning all things in Christ, things in heaven, things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things according to the counsel of his will. All that's saying, remember I said, because now you have adoption as sons, you also have an inheritance. That's what that blessing is. I won't dwell too much because I've already touched on that. You have an inheritance because of that. Let's keep moving. And this is in him, remember. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who worked all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. And then verse 13, the fifth one. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. All that verse 13 is saying is, in Christ, because you have believed, because you have taken in this free gift, you have been given a promissory note, almost. The Holy Spirit, it's the guarantor, it's that thing that you can cash in, it's a pledge of that inheritance. How do you know? Because you've got the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, and that means if you are in Christ, if you've received the free gift, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And that is a pledge for us. That is a pledge. That's the thing you know, that it's like, oh man, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Yes, he did. Remember he makes a promise to the disciples? I have to go so that he could come. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Right? I'm not asking you to say, because you know, the temptation is to say, yeah, that means I have to have these experiences. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're taking God on his word. He said, I have to go. Did Jesus go? Yes, he did. He rose into the heavens. They were sitting there on that mountain and he rose and left them. And he says, I have to. And what happened on Pentecost? Holy Spirit came down. Holy Spirit, he gave them to us. That's our problem. Lord, you made a promise. If we would believe in you, we would be like those who receive these gifts, these blessings. And that's what he's saying. That Holy Spirit was the guarantor. And he's at work in you. The Holy Spirit is the one that's always helping you run back to Jesus. Run to his word. Right? That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to say, look at Jesus, more of him, run away from sin, run to him. The Holy Spirit has been given to us as a seal. And the reason is with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. We are God's own possession. When that Holy Spirit was being given, we were in mind. 2,000 and so years later, they still had us in mind. In view of this redemption, that you will be redeemed. If today you do not harden your heart and you repent and believe, it was in view of you when the Holy Spirit was given. As a seal, don't harden your heart. If you've never received the free gift, don't harden your heart tonight. Don't harden it. Accept the free gift and begin to partake in these blessings. Now, by way of closing, I'd say, it's a rush through. I think it needs way more work. Like, go and look at Ephesians chapter 1 for yourself. Paul would say, it's for this reason, in verse 15, for the things I just told you, because I know you get these things. Every time I hear that someone is in Christ, I celebrate. I thank God because there is so much in him. There is so much in him. May we be found in him. Unwrap this gift. Learn more about it. Don't just use it as a passing term, as a church term, you know. Yeah, we've received the free gift of grace. What does that mean? Dive in. Open his word. And in case you ever want, ask different people to say, man, where can I learn more about what we get in Jesus? And you'll begin to see, as it's opened up to you, that in Jesus we have something no one else could ever give. An inheritance in heaven, the forgiveness of our sins, adoption as sons, a calling into his family, a seal that promises that you will receive your inheritance. It is unbelievable what God has done. And it is during this period that we remember that he sent his son. So when you remember, when you're sitting at Christmas, just remember, man, when Jesus came all those years ago, he was here to achieve so much for us. And he did. Don't forget to unwrap him as a gift. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, you have achieved so much for us. In you we have received so much. Thank you so much, and we give glory to you for what you did. You deserve all the glory, all the praise, all the honor for what it is that you have done. And it makes sense why you would say to us, how could I not give you all things? I've already given you everything. You have not held out on us. Lord, teach us to unwrap this gift. Teach us to unwrap this gift. And like Paul prays, Lord, may the eyes of our hearts be enlightened so that we will know the hope that is in this calling. What are the riches of your inheritance in the saints? There are so much there, Father. Would we dive in and learn? Pray even during the season, Father, may our time with you be rich and be joyous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.